Welcome, and thank you for coming back to this podcast for the 26th week in Ordinary Time. And today I'd like to go over the readings that are going to be done at Mass today. The first reading is a reading from the book of Numbers. The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And the spirit came to rest on them. They prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also. And they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, Joshua, the son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses answered him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. The word of the Lord. Response. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. Though your servant is careful of them, very diligent in keeping them, yet who can detect failings? Cleanse me from my unknown faults. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. From wanton sin, especially restrain your servant. Let it not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of serious sin. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. James. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and the corrosion will have a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasures for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your field are crying aloud. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Your word, O Lord, is truth. Consecrate us in truth. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name. We tried to prevent him, because he does not follow us. Jesus said, Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be greater and better for him if a great millstone were put about his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. the gospel of the Lord. Now, when we look at these readings and review them for this previous week or current week of Scripture, what we see in it is kind of two messages. One is a message about denominationalism and how we can't be all about our denomination and not about supporting those who are also on their way to heaven. And the second is a warning about not being a scandal to other people. And that's kind of a big message when you consider the state of the church today. Going with kind of what ties them together, the key thing here is not causing somebody to sin. We're not supposed to be separating ourselves from people. We're not supposed to be dividing up what is ours and what is theirs. And this is kind of the message here. We're not supposed to be, you know, greedy for ourselves. It's not about whether somebody is a Catholic or not a Catholic. It's about whether or not they're on their way to heaven and whether or not we give a good witness to them of why we are the fullness of that truth of how one gets to heaven. In the first reading, the reading to the book of Numbers, the Lord came down and was having a conversation with Moses. And while he was talking with him, it tells that he took some of the spirit that was on Moses and distributed it to about 70 elders. These 70 elders were very important for helping Moses run the nation of Israel. And they kind of show us how the spirit gets distributed among the leaders of the Christian community. Some get more of a spirit than others, and they're all considered to be prophetic in a sense because they're all prophesying or preaching the name of Jesus. And this is something that is mimicked in the gospel when John talks to Jesus about a guy that's casting out demons, but he's not a part of their group. He's not following him as they follow him. And Jesus basically says, don't prevent him. If he's doing this in my name, he can't talk ill of me. So he's got to be somewhat right. You know, we're supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive. And he points out kind of a blessing as part of this, that if you basically are given a gift of water because you belong to Christ, or somebody blesses your ministry or your life because they recognize that you're a Christian, then that's what really is what matters. We're supposed to recognize these blessings in other people, recognize the hand of God in others. The problem is we get too scandalized by who's not following us, who's not among us. We see this greatly in the political struggles of today when we see how one political party attacks the other, and how one demonizes everything another does. And this goes for both Republicans and Democrats equally, because whether it's an election year or not, there is this divide that's going on that way. And it's basically saying, hey, they're not following us. Are they really American? It's kind of the thought there. But what's even more important here is being united, staying with the unity of the Spirit, as it were, and continuing to be a true role model and not giving cause for scandal. There's been enough scandal in the church with the priest abuse scandal, and a lot of that kind of goes a little bit further into showing why there are others who follow Christ, but not necessarily the way we follow him. And if we look back into history of the church, we find that before the Reformation, there was a great period of problems with church leadership. At one point in time, in the 10th and the 11th century, there were more than one pope. There were also scandals with how certain priests were using the money that was being given through offerings from the people to them that were supposed to go to support the Crusades and build things, and just scandalized everybody at that time. It was kind of the basis for why Martin Luther broke away, was because of these scandals. And probably today, with all the scandals with the sex abuse situation going on in the church, there's going to be more breaking away and people leaving the church justifiably because of the sin within it. And that's where the warning comes in, that it's better that you have a millstone about your neck and get thrown in a sea than to offend somebody so that they sin and walk away from God, or fall into sin in the sense of not being part of your denomination. And this is a big, huge problem. The church has spent many decades covering up scandal instead of actually bringing it out into the light and cutting that foot off, or cutting that hand off, or poking that eye out, so that the church continues to move forward. But unfortunately, that's not the case. They've become like the rich that are in the letter of St. James, who weep and wail over impending miseries because of the scandals that they allow to seep in. Their wealth is a wealth of this earth that basically rots away and gets moth-eaten. The silver and gold got corroded because they were protecting this life, not the eternal life. And that became a testimony against them, and is a testimony that people say, why should we be one of those people? Because look at them. They're just a bunch of sinners. And it talks about how the wages were withheld from those who were harvesting in the field. And it kind of reminds you about how through scandal, through the way we misrepresent the Lord, other people can be hindered in their work of the ministry. And that becomes something that gets blamed upon us. In fact, scandal is something that can be provoked by not just laws and institutions, but by fashions and opinions that we accept. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 2286, points out, they are guilty of scandal who establish laws and social structures leading to the decline of morals and the corruption of religious practice, or to social conditions that, intentionally or not, make Christian conduct and obedience to the commandments difficult and practically impossible. This is also true of business leaders who make rules encouraging fraud, teachers who provoke their children to anger, and manipulators of public opinion who turn it away from moral values. Scandal. We have great scandal in our country today. One of the greatest scandals right now is relating to a Supreme Court nominee, Justice Kavanaugh, as to whether or not he did something with, I believe it's now, three different women, which at this point, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of evidence proving one way or the other, though there's really no evidence to prove that anything happened beyond the testimony of these women and some vouching on behalf of other people many decades later. But it just kind of makes you wonder about how this scandal is something that we should avoid. And we should always be avoiding scandal. We should avoid the near occasion of sin as something that we pray. And this is something that we need to be aware of. We need to not just look at the laws that we have or the social structures that allow for the decline in morals, which could come about from living a lifestyle of free sex, unbridled promiscuity, basically using whatever means available to us to make sure through contraceptives that we aren't following the teachings of God regarding chastity and remaining pure and holy. Basically, whether intentionally or not, it's not in our place to allow these scandals to happen. And there's a lot of things we don't consider to be scandal. Like in some cases, people don't consider it to be a scandalous that abortion is available. It's something that's a woman's right. But it's something that violates a commandment of God, a commandment to life, a commandment to respect and love others as we love ourselves. And this is something that's lost. And it's something that when you see it in the schools, there's a teaching of children nowadays of what's right and wrong according to the norms of society. And these provoke these children to anger against those that hold various positions that are against them. If you hold a view that's not about a certain position on gun rights, for instance, people will yell at your face. And that goes for both sides. It goes for other areas of life. And it makes us look inwardly. Are there things that you do? I know there's things that I do that can be a hindrance to others. And this is something I work on as much as I possibly can. And it's something that we need to listen to the words of the responsorial psalm. For in it, there's a little prayer that says, though your servant is careful of them, meaning the precepts of the Lord, the laws and ordinances of the law, and we are very diligent in keeping them, yet who can detect failings? Cleanse us from our unknown faults. There was a great man of God, I believe it was Padre Pio, who used to pray a prayer based off of the psalm, that the Holy Spirit would seek out and reveal to him any kind of sins that were in him that he didn't know of. That way he could know what was the wanton sin that needs to be restrained, or the sins that he truly was ignorant of, the things that he needed to cut out of his life. Sometimes there are people we need to put out of our life. Sometimes there are places that we shouldn't go, because it leads us into a certain temptation we shouldn't. I think a lot of people just don't realize how being in a certain place, around certain people, sometimes bring them down. And it's something that we need to be aware of. But we shouldn't put them out in the sense of not considering them one of us because they are doing things for the gospel. It's not about whether somebody's Republican or Democrat or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Catholic. It's about whether or not somebody follows Christ. And if they follow Christ, we need to give them a cup of water because they do follow Christ. And in that sense, we won't lose our reward. We don't forbid them from prophesying when the Spirit of the Lord drops upon them like they did Eldad and Medad in the Old Testament scripture. And we don't want to be like the people who were rich, who basically hoarded away everything that should have been a blessing to others. And just as an added note, just because this message is toward the rich, it doesn't mean that the rich and being rich is in and of itself an evil. It's not about getting rid of the top 1 or 10%. It's not about lowering their income by distributing it to those who have little. It's about raising people up, giving them a reason to get out of the gutter, get out of the basement areas of life. And this is what we need to be promoting. We need to be promoting unity. We need to be stopping, not just with ourselves, but among ourselves, the spread of evil that makes people walk away from God. If the church had done that back in the 11th and 12th century, we would have never known of Martin Luther. If the church would stay away from its sins of overlooking the priestly scandal of how youth were treated, then we wouldn't have the scandal that we have today, where we have to investigate every diocese in the world to find out who knew what and who covered up what. And that is a problem. We can't be all about me and mine, that we forget about you and yours. That's the problem that most people face. It's not about being rich and just taking care of you. It's not about taking care of a certain perspective. It's about truth. And it's about sometimes doing the hard thing of removing those things that weigh us down and that hinder us, and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Because scandal, it can be provoked by laws. It can be provoked by institutions such as the Catholic Church. It can be provoked by certain fashion, certain ways you dress, certain ways you look, certain ways you act. Or it can be provoked by certain opinions. Opinions that you think are valid and true, but aren't really, because they don't glorify God. They only make you separate unto yourself. And this is what we really need is to be formed by the word of the Lord, the word that the Alleluia refrain reminds us is truth. We need to be consecrated into that truth. For only then will you and I be truly blameless and innocent of the serious sin that would allow us to be cast into Gehenna. Thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I hope you continue to support. I do have a ability for you to support with a $5 a month donation to this ministry outreach that I am putting together, where I'm going to try to put together some helpful messages on how to pray and something about spirituality, I hope, in time. And as I look at it, $5 is not much to ask for each month. In an entire year, that's only $60. I'm pretty sure that could be a couple pizzas or a couple nights out on the town, or at least one night, depending upon how you do those kind of things. And I think that's a fair trade-off for these kind of blessings. And I will be putting together other stuff over the next couple months, hopefully to help you learn and grow in the Christian faith. So I thank you for this, and God bless.